Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know.
Double O, W, double E, ooh-wee. Looking for the sweetest hit. Well, we got the recipe. Been patient waiting for someone to show you. So we gon' show you how. We gon' break it down. We gon' break it down.
Oh, man. Hey, Al, they should have been singing the whole time live.
Exactly, man.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking right. Blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale. Like, I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But, hey. I spoke.
You are a real artist.
I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what, cuz? I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that he gave me, and he wouldn't let me release it for some time, but if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, AJ Disco.
Hey.
AJ Disco. 3-5. Hey. And I'm faithful. I don't do no physical harm to them.
Mm-hmm.
I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
Okay. I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all.
See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl, the one you heard about. We fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles, too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron L., who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and, I don't want to call him his real name. Chaz has come a long way, and his music
thank you,
is...
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good evening, good evening, T-A-Z, another T-A-Z production live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm on backstage.com, Carl Atwater. He says, "I'm a classically trained singer with major musical theater chops. I have years of experience in front of the camera as the grandfather, judge, pastor. I absolutely love what I do. and bring that enthusiasm to every role. Carl Atwater is in the house. Good evening, sir.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey,
you doing,
man, I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I got to tell the people, though, you was my supervisor at the PO, at the post office. And one day,
yes, sir.
I came in, and he was walking around in the back, and he was singing. And I had to say to him, "Bud, you sound like Robert Goulet." And he said, "I ain't heard Robert Goulet in a long time. Yeah, you bought me back." So
yeah,
I'm very happy for you, and reading on Facebook all your endeavors that you've been doing, especially since you retired from it. So give me the breakdown. What got you started doing this acting thing?
Well, it all started back in 1975. It started with a bus accident, believe it or not. I was in I was in high school, and my plan for the year was to drive school buses as my part-time job. And so that summer I trained. We learned how to drive stick shift. And so that school year I had bus number 77. I was in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We still had student bus drivers in those days. We don't anymore. So at the beginning of the school year, I'm driving I've only been driving not even a year in my life. I got 110 kids on my bus, and I didn't know how to gear down a straight shift vehicle, and ended up in a minor accident. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but of course they had to take me off the bus, and as a result of taking me off the bus, now I don't have a part-time job. So I found out they were having auditions for the play Godspell at my high school, and my cousin Sandy Mitchell had been in a play that we had the year before, Pearly Victorious. And I thought, well, if she can be in a play, I can be in a play. So I went to audition, and that's when I discovered I could sing. Prior to that point in my life, I did not know that singing was a talent that anybody could have, or I didn't think it was that big a deal. My family's very musical, so we've always sung and, you know, harmonized and so forth. So I could always imitate the radio, you know, most of the artists on the radio. So I didn't think it was that big a deal. So I go to this audition. I end up with a big production number. The name of the song is We Beseech Thee. And I'm on stage one day as the character, the guy that played Jesus, walked across my path. I'm sitting on the stage, and I looked up, and I saw his silhouette. And this is during a performance, and I remember thinking, hey, I could do this the rest of my life. I mean, the actual thought crossed my brain. And that was when I was actually, as they say, bitten with the bug. And then a few other events took place in my life to kind of steer me in the direction of being a performer. But that was where it all started, in the fall of 1975, Godspell.
Wow. So you did that for a while, didn't you? Decided you had to get a real job, or what happened? What got you to the PO after that?
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, let me give you a couple of other stories that took place. In the course of about three events took place in my life, each one about 9-10 months apart, that changed, each one changed the direction of my life. That was the first one, the bus accident. So we did Godspell, and then in the spring of that year, we did a show called Oklahoma, and then in the summer, after I graduated from high school, so that was my senior year, graduated from high school, and we did a show called Celebration. So I'm having all these people tell me how wonderful I am and how talented I am, and that, hey, you should go to the North Carolina School of the Arts. So being, easily influenced 18-year-old, I said, okay, well, I guess a 17-year-old actor, I said, well, I guess I need to go to the North Carolina School of the Arts. So I set up an audition for the School of the Arts. And I also was a great partier and a great procrastinator. So in setting up an audition to be a acting major at the School of the Arts, they told you, well, you have to have two contrasting contemporary monologues. And I didn't study my monologues as well as I should have, so I got to the audition. And this is July after I graduated from high school. So I started the audition. I looked up at the ceiling, and the words weren't on the ceiling, and I totally forgot the words. And for both monologues, so I just totally blew it. So I knew I wasn't going to get accepted. So but fortunately, they asked us, one of the requirements of doing an audition was you also had to sing. So I sang Old Man River. Because at the age of now 18, I had this big booming bass voice, and my voice hasn't changed now in the 50 years. So I sing Old Man River, and I leave, and I go back out to the car. I'm kind of dejected, and I tell my mom, hey, they're not going to accept me. I messed up my lines and stuff. So she said, okay, baby, go. Here's the money. Go get yourself something to eat in the cafeteria, and we'll leave. So I go back and sit in the cafeteria, and I'm sitting there kicking myself, so mad that I blew this opportunity to go to this school. I'm surrounded by all these artistic, creative folks, and while I'm sitting there, just mad at myself, the lady who conducted the audition came walking by, and she said, a little 4'11" British lady, and she said, you just auditioned for drama, right? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, if I could arrange an audition for you to be a voice major, would you consider doing that? And I was like, yes, ma'am, of course. So 15 minutes, I go out to the car, I get my music, I go back in, and sure enough, she arranged an audition. I met the chairman of the music department, and I sang Old Man River, and then I sang the bass aria to Handel's Messiah, which is ridiculous because it was one of the most difficult arias ever written, and I had never even studied music. So I did the best I could, but the lady heard enough in my voice, offered me a scholarship on the spot, accepted me on the spot.
Wow.
So number two, if I do not go back into that cafeteria, if my mother does not send me back into that cafeteria, I don't get accepted to college because I had applied to Howard University, but Howard turned me down because I partied in high school and I didn't have good grades. So, number two, I get accepted to the School of the Arts because I go back in this cafeteria. All right. So, now I'm in my freshman year of college. My cousin, who did Pearlie, she did go to Howard because she did her homework. And so, she invited me up for homecoming. Bruh, I went to Howard University's homecoming. It was the first HBCU homecoming I had ever been to. I like to lost my mind. My head was on a swivel looking at all those fine women up there, and I like to lost my mind. So I had a ball at homecoming, and so then I go back to school. I'm at the School of the Arts, and for my spring break, I called up my cousin and said, hey, how about if I come and stay with you for spring break? She said, sure, come on up. So I go up, and during spring break, I decided, well, you know what? Let me see if maybe I can arrange an audition. And so sure enough, I set up an audition at Howard University now. It's a Thursday, 10 o'clock in the morning. I've got the worst head cold of my life, and I am like eyes are running, nose is running. But, this is when my audition is, so I go into the audition. And the So I met the man. We go into the studio, and he asked me, what am I singing? And I told him, I'm singing Caro Mio Ben, an Italian art song. So I give him my music, and he starts playing, and I start singing. Caro Mio Ben, Credi Mio Ben,
senza di te languisce il cuore.
Now, I'm 18 years old. I'm maybe a buck 40. And this voice came out of that body. And the man stopped playing. The man stopped playing. And he looked, and I didn't know why he stopped playing, but he said, Mr. Atwater, can you just wait 1 minute? I want someone else to hear this. So he goes down the hall. He gets another voice instructor, Mr. Holiday, and he comes. They came in together, and he said, Mr. Atwater, I want you to do the same thing you just did. I said, okay. So he starts playing. I start singing. We do the whole song, and this time I finish the song. And they look at me, and they look at each other, and Mr. Holiday said, Mr. Atwater, can you step outside for a second? I said, okay. Now, I don't know if I have just really messed up so badly they want to talk about me or if I've done so well that, you know, whatever. So I step out in the hall about 4 or 5 minutes later. They call me back in, and Mr. Holiday looks at me and he says, Mr. Atwater, if we were offered you a scholarship to come to Howard University, would you be willing to just transfer here? Oh, you kidding me? I'm gone. So that's how I got into Howard. So once again, 10 months later, boom, I'm now going to a different school. And even though I transferred to Howard as a voice major, I ended up being a theater major. And so I switched my major to theater, and I eventually graduated from Howard with I have a BFA in theater. And then I bounced to New York, where I went to seek my fame and fortune, as they say, and become an actor, which I fortunately, after about a year there, I was cast as the lead role in a show called Williams and Walker. So this is 1987. And we did a tour of the United States, great success, made great reviews. And then after we did that for a little over a year, and so I was actually a successful actor making my living as an actor. But the problem was in 1987-88, when you go on tour, there was no computers, there was no Google, there was no TikTok, there was no cell phone. So every time I came back into town, I had to make phone calls, hit the pavement, and so forth. And I was able to find work, but not consistently. So I said, you know what? I like to eat on a more regular basis. So I had worked with this brother who I did some carpentry work at a theater where he worked, and he worked for the post office. And he said, hey, man, there's always work at the post office. And sure enough, I applied to the post office, and I applied, and they called me like three times. And the first two times, I was like, I'm not ready yet. The third time, they sent me an email. They sent me a express mail envelope to my PO box, offering me the job. Mm-hmm. I said, express mail. I said, you know what? Let me take this job. Fortunately, that was the next to the last group that got accepted. That's when they were hiring full time. So January 13th, 1990, I started my career with the post office and ended up working 28 mm-hmm. and a half years. But now here's a little interesting factoid. January 13th, 1990, I started working. The post office week, as you know, starts on a Saturday. On the following Tuesday, January the 16th, 1990, I get a phone call from the producer of the show that I had toured with, and the producer was Woody King Jr. Woody King Jr. is like, he's the producer for Broadway for so many black shows. Woody produced for Colored Girls, if you've ever heard of that show. He produced for Colored Girls on Broadway.
I've heard
as
it.
As well as Checkmate and several other shows. So Woody calls me up on that Tuesday and says, hey, man, they want to do the show in on the West End in London. They want to do 6 weeks on the West End in London. Now, for those who don't know what the West End is, and at that point in time I didn't, the West End is to London and Europe what Broadway is to the United States. This is the epitome
right.
of theater in Europe. So he said they want to do the show 6 weeks on the West End, but the one caveat is they will only take the show if you come with it. It was a two-man show. They said if I didn't come with the show, they didn't want to do the show. And I turned them down. And in all my life, I just started working this postal job, and I'm thinking, you know, I need the medical coverage. I need to pay my bills. So I work for the post office. Well, my thinking, and in all my life, I have lived a life with no regrets, Taz. I've been blessed. I've truly been blessed. But that's the only decision I've ever made in my life that I sort of kind of wonder sometimes what would have happened if.
Happened, yeah.
You know.
Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? So, I worked for the post office for 28 and a half years. We did the show a couple of times while I was working for the post office. We did it in Teaneck, New Jersey, and we did it in the Bronx. Always very well received. It was the show was called Williams and Walker. It's about the first two black men to perform on Broadway, Burt Williams and George Walker, based on two men who actually lived. Burt Williams was the first black person, air quotes, permitted to join Actors Equity. And they had no choice because he was such a popular performer of his day. At the time he was working, he was the top recording artist of the day. He made more money than the President of the United States as a black man in 1910. So unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
But the caveat was he had to perform in blackface. And in this show, I actually did perform in blackface. So it was a wonderful show, wonderful experience. So I worked for the post office for 28 and a half years, and 6 and a half years ago, I had enough. I retired. The post office, the thing I tell people about the post office, hey, the check will never bounce. The health insurance is good. Okay, and you're always gonna have you're always gonna get paid, but things are just kind of getting a little crazy, and I said, you know what, I'm done. So after 28 and a half years, I retired at 59 and a half. I stopped going to work, and I had FMLA. I had because I went to work on a daily basis, I had 9 months of sick leave and 5 months of annual leave built up.
Right.
So I burned up my 9 months of sick leave with an FMLA. And then when I turned 60 in May, I retired officially. And shortly after I stopped working at 59 and a half, I started auditioning. And because I said I didn't move to Atlanta because of the theater business and because of they're making so many films and TV shows and stuff here. But I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And so a dear friend of mine, Angela Ray, sister who I go to church with, and I affectionately call her my twin sister because we're both born on May the 7th, although we're like 15, 16 years apart. I'm much older than her. She has been in the business. She's in the union. And so she's SAG and Equity and all that stuff. And but she's been working in the business, and I told her, I said, hey, when I retire, I need you to help me work my way back into this environment because it is completely different than when I left, 25, 30 years before. And she was very willing, very, very helpful. So we sat down at a P.F. Chang's, and she said, bring your computer. So she got me all hooked up. I set up a Facebook acting page. I set up Instagram. She told me what websites to join to start looking for work and so forth. And I did all of that. And as a result, I have been working like gangbusters ever since, man. I've worked so much more in these last 6 years than I did when I was in my 30s. And I signed with an agent, Linda Ryan, Crossbeam Talent Agency. And, you know, absolutely love Linda. I appreciate all that she's done. She sends me out repeatedly. So I'm constantly auditioning. And but I also, and the thing that Linda likes about me is she's told me this numerous times, she said to me, Carl, I love your hustle because I want to work. And so I'm constantly auditioning, and that's why I'm constantly working. And the thing I tell people, if you're looking to make it as an actor in this day and age, it's a numbers game. So the more you audition, the better your chance of getting hired. But if you just audition once here, once there, you minimize your chances. I know I'm not going to get most of the things that I audition for, but I keep plugging and keep plugging and keep plugging, and you never know, you might audition here. Somebody will see you. They may not hire you for this, but then they may have you in mind for something else down the road. In fact, I got a phone call today from a brother who called me up that I worked on a piece just a few weeks ago. He wanted to cast me in a film that he's doing, but I'm going to be out of town in the beginning of April when he does his shoot. So you know, he said if his schedule changes, he'll let me know. But, you know, you just never know, man. So it's a business of – it's a numbers game, but also it's a business of relationship. So I always go on set. I'm always going into every film situation, every theater situation, always – remembering the lessons that my mom taught me to treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, I always tell any directors and anyone else, hey, there ain't no diva in me. So there is no, I'm not going to come in trying to be a prima donna, even though I may have years of experience more than whoever's in there, but I can learn from anyone. And I'm always going to have a good attitude. I'm going to show up when I'm supposed to. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to follow instructions, and I ain't giving nobody no grief because you're not going to hear anybody say, well, you know, that Carl, he was terrible to work with. He was blah, 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 blah. If anybody tells you that, either they're lying and or they're jealous, because I make sure to get along with everybody within reason, you know. So,
It's best not to burn no bridges. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, so but I love what I do, just like you read in my bio. I absolutely, and the thing I tell, and I am Uncle Carl to most people in my world, in my sphere of influence. Okay, I have mentored lots of young people over the years, excuse me, and so when I'm on set, and when I'm, you know, either in a play, shooting a commercial, doing a music video, whatever it is, I am usually, now that I am 65, I'll be 66 in May, I am usually the oldest person involved on the project. And I'm used to that, and I'm fine with that. So I'm frequently mentoring younger folks, and not that I can't learn anything from them, because I know I can, but I am frequently, you know, I'm like the voice of reason. Frequently I'll have some of these young artists, they'll come to me and, you know, they see the gray in my hair and in my beard, and, you know, they'll ask me questions, and I always, always counsel them all as if they were my children, my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I give them advice that I wish someone had given me when I was their age. And sometimes I'll start out a conversation with them with just that. I'll tell them, you know, let me tell you something I wish somebody had told me when I was your age. And then I'll, you know, and we'll talk about, you know, anything, romance, money, you know, longevity, health, whatever. You know, I always try to give them good advice that, and most of the time, many of them will come to me afterwards and, you know, at some point down the road and say, you know, hey, it was great working with you, or I really appreciate the advice you gave me, and, you know, things like that. So, I love what I do, and that's a major part of it, being able to work with people. And, you know, because most of the people I'm working with are much younger than me, most of them.
So tell me about some of the roles you got, because I was reading your Internet Movie Database, and I was tripping. Mm-hmm. That was my first time on it. I was like,
okay.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, I have a – on Facebook, I'm Carl Everett Atwater, and Carl is spelled C-A-R-L-E. So I invite anyone to friend me on Facebook. And if you friend me on Facebook, I'm going to ask you, how do you know me? So be prepared to tell me that, because there's a lot of scams on Facebook. And but also on Instagram, I am at Carl Atwater. You can follow me there. And but I also, I just discovered recently that you can have your own YouTube channel, which was,
right,
was a surprise to me. I was on tour this past October with a chorale. It's called the Cornerstone Chorale and Brass. And I was their narrator. So it was 19 voices and piano player, narrator, myself, the conductor, and five brass instruments. And, man, we had a wonderful time. And my roommate, who was one of the trombone players, and he had a YouTube page. I was like, wait a minute, how you got a YouTube channel and I ain't got one? So I went and set me up a YouTube channel. So on my YouTube channel,
right,
Carl Atwater, you can see, and I'm still adding stuff to it, but you can see a lot of the films that I've done. And in the last 6 years or so, I have made about 30 films. Some of them I'm able to put on the YouTube channel. Some of them the directors have specifically said, please do not put this out for public consumption. So I always respect that. But some of the roles, to answer your question, some of the roles that I've played have been wonderful. I played in a film that we did, we shot about 5 years ago. It's called Apple Core. Now, this is not on the YouTube channel, although the trailer is on there, but the entire film is not. It's a short film. And I play Papa, who was a grandfather to a precocious, at that time, 9-year-old, and had, and interestingly enough, a retired postal worker, and this is the character, and he was a visual artist who kind of let time get away from him. His wife died, and but his passion was art, was painting, and he was teaching his granddaughter how to paint because she was constantly pestering him because she loved him and wanted to spend time with him doing what he loved. And so, but the theme of the film is, you know, don't let time in your life be wasted and get away from you. I'm not going to tell you the end of it because there's an interesting end to
it.
Then one of my absolute favorite roles was Burt Williams and Williams and Walker. I got to learn so much about that period of time, the time in our country's history, which was not very good for black people. It was Red Summer and the 1920s when, you know, all the Tulsa race massacres and all those things took place.
Mm-hmm.
The backdrop of all that was when Burt and George were performing. And so they, you know, that's spoken of in that piece. And so I really love the fact that being an actor gives me the opportunity to learn so many different things. Another role that I portrayed is in a film called 11-11, and that trailer is on my YouTube page. And it's a film, I played a homeless schizophrenic, which was interesting to research. That was, I play a grandfather once again. I frequently get cast as father and grandfather because of my age. And I played a man who had schizophrenia. He chose to be homeless because his schizophrenia made him violent, and he did not want to be around his daughter and granddaughter, fearful that he would harm them.
But his daughter ended up being mistreated because he wasn't around to protect her, and she was very hostile towards him. But he knew that he was about to die, so he comes back to ask for forgiveness and to meet his granddaughter for the first time. And so it's a very poignant film, very touching. Another fun role I played the husband of a siren, a mermaid, okay? And she, wow. And the short version is, yeah, this was shot down in Tallahassee. And so the wife of like 40 years, and I knew she was a mermaid. The story is basically she heard me singing as I play a fisherman. She heard me singing as I'm walking along the shore, and that drew her out of the water, and she took on human form. And for 40 years, we have a wonderful life, totally in love, soulmates and all that. She would live forever. She told me she was going to live forever. But in the end, she started to revert back to her natural state. So you see in the special effects, you see claws start growing, her scales, her fangs start growing back in, and her gills actually started growing back in. And if she stays mm-hmm. on land, she's going to die. So I sent her back to her natural habitat, even though it breaks my heart. So that was a fun role. I'm going to tell you about two more. One of them is a show called Greenwood, which I really strongly feel is going to be on its way to Broadway in the next few years. It's about the events leading up to the massacre of Black Wall Street. So it's set right. in 1921 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Coolidge Harris II is the playwright. Wonderful piece. I mean, I really feel like he writes almost as well as August Wilson. Okay, I mean, it's neck and neck, okay? He incorporated these love stories, and this is set in, like I said, 1920, so we're not that far past slavery. So some of the people in the play were either slaves or descendants of slaves, and I play a part called Shriner, or the name of my character is Shriner. I'm the cook in this boarding house, and he did such wonderful research to research the events that caused that aspect of our history. So you get a background, you see some backstory. Some of the names of some of the people who were actually there are actually in those names are thrown out as we give the history. But all the characters are fictitious except for young boy, who's the catalyst. If you know the story in Greenwood, they said that this young black boy, young black man, mm-hmm. did something to a white woman in an elevator. Okay, which of course was not true. But they just used that as an excuse, and they burnt the whole thing down. Well, the play takes place up until the time that the massacre starts, and it ends just as they're about to start pillaging and killing and all that. So that's the end of the play. But it's a wonderful piece, and I know that he is working on doing it here in Atlanta. Don't have a date on it because he's still working out the details to try to do that. So I'm hoping, I'm definitely looking forward to being a part of that when it comes to Atlanta. And so the last piece I'm going to tell you about is, oh, my God, I just grin when I think about it. It's a show called Jukebox Giants, Motown, and More. Now, this is and just as it says, you heard the word Motown in there, so absolutely that's right. So this show is and I'm going to have to tell you the story how I got into this show because it just tickles me silly to this day. January of 2020, I auditioned at the theater is called the Strand Theater. Okay, so January of 2020, I go to audition. They posted, and this is when I'm just starting back into acting. They posted that they were having auditions for their season that year. they were doing two shows, Jukebox Giants and Forever Plaid. So I go to the audition in January, beginning of January, and at the time I'm 61 years old, I'm out of shape, and I've never been a dancer. I mean, I used to be able to move well when I was younger, but I'm 61 at that time, so I move.
Right.
I don't move well, but I move. So I go to the audition, and I've been to musical auditions before, so I know they're going to ask us to sing, they're going to ask us to dance, maybe do some acting. So, okay, so I go in with my resume, my headshot, and I got my music. And so I timed it so I would be the last person to sing. And sure enough, they said, and it's an open audition. So everybody who's auditioning is sitting in the audience watching everyone else do their audition. And then we're going to do the dance. So I look around and I see all these young folks. And I mean, these people are young enough to be my children and grandchildren. They're in their teens and 20s, okay? I'm 61. But I'm like, hey, they said open audition, so I'm going. So they said, okay, well, who's next? I raise my hand. I go up, give them my headshot, and they kind of look at me like, you way older than everybody else here. I'm like, okay, whatever. So they said, what are you going to sing, Carl? So I said, I'm going to sing Old Man River. And I look, and I said, and as I look around the room, the last time I sang this song was probably before most of you were born. And they chuckled. So fortunately that day I was in pretty good voice. So I did that. And then they said, okay, everybody get changed. We're going to do the dance. So we do the dance part. And I'm struggling through because, you know, I mean, they give a real choreography. And I mean, I did the best I could. And so we finished and they said, okay, everybody, thanks. We'll let you know. So we all leave. All of January, I don't hear anything. All of February, I don't hear anything. No problem. I figure they gave the parts to the kids. No sweat. The end of February, I get an email. We'd like you to come to a callback audition. Please be prepared to dance, and please let us know if you'll be attending. Now, normally, they don't ask you to let them know if you're going to be coming. I found that kind of odd. But I said, okay, no problem. So I responded, yes, I'll be coming. And I was, you know, had my little dance stuff, my shorts basically. So and it's the last day of February. So it's the last day of February, which is the 29th because it was a leap year. So
yeah.
I show up. The audition is at 2 o'clock. I show up at 1:45. I walk in the audition, and I look around, and these kids, and as I walk in, once again, it's teenagers and 20-year-old kids, and they looked, when I walked through the door, they all looked at me like, what's the old guy doing here? And I looked at them like, hey, I got invited back just like y'all did. I know they did not call me back up in here just to laugh at me, so that means I'm being considered. So, excuse me, so we go through the audition again, and so we sing and we dance, and I'm still 61, I'm still out of shape, and I'm still not a dancer, but I do the best I can. I'm giving the kids pounds, I'm giving them high fives, I'm cracking jokes, I'm just being me. I'm having a good time. And so we finished the audition, and it wasn't my best audition, that second one. I just, you know, they asked me to sing some songs that I was like, it's a little high. I mean, I am a literal double bass. I have the lowest voice that there is to sing, okay? And most things are written for tenors, the high voice. But, you know, I do the best I can. And we finished, and they said, okay, everybody, thank you. We'll let you know. Fine. So I'm putting my stuff together, and they said, hey, Carl, hold up a second. We want to talk to you. I said, okay. So the kids are leaving, and so now it's me, the director, the producer and the choreographer. And so the director hands me what we call the side, which is like part of the script, one of the speeches from the script. So he said, read that for me. I said, okay. So he said, do you need a minute to look it over? I said, no, I'll do a good cold read, no problem. And as I read the thing, Taz, it just felt like it was written for me. I mean, it just flowed. It was just like smooth. I was like, you know, I was like, okay, great. You know, so I was happy with that part. So I give him back the paper, and then the director and the choreographer look at each other, and they both kind of nod. And I'm standing there wondering what's going on. So the choreographer looks at me and says, "Okay, Carl, so you know you've been cast in the show, right?" And I was like, "Huh? They just told everybody else. They let them know by the end of March. I haven't even left the building yet, and I'm in the show. I'm not disappointed, but I'm surprised." The director looks at me and says, "This is an original show. We were going in a completely different direction, and then you showed up. So now we have rewritten the entire script around you. You will be the centerpiece of the show." My mouth.
Wow.
That's exactly what I said.
First time you came there.
First time I came. I've never been in the theater before in my life.
Right.
Never been in a theater before. And I said, wow. And so now, unfortunately, COVID took over the world that year, so we didn't do the show that year. However, the night we were scheduled to start rehearsal, I mean, things kept moving forward, you know. I gave my costume measurements, signed contracts. I mean, we were moving forward, and I was getting all excited. And then we were scheduled to start rehearsal on, like, July the 16th or something like that. The Thursday before that Saturday, I get a call from the director. Now, we're in full-blown COVID now. I mean, full-blown COVID, okay? It's where every day you look at the TV and they're tallying up numbers. You see how many people have died, right? So the director calls me up and says, "Hey, man, the board of directors, they're shutting the theater down. So we're not doing the show this year. But once this whole thing passes, we still want to do the show with you. We're still going to do the show, and we still want to do it with you. So next year, you know, we'll give you a buzz and let you know." And sure enough, a year later, it was like June or July, I get a call from the director. He said, "Hey, man, are you interested and are you available?" I said, "You better believe it." So we did the show. So that was August of 2021. So the show has been done every August. Now, and let me throw in also here, they were doing a show by this name for several years prior. So the show has always been called Jukebox Giants, Motown, and More. However, I came along, they completely rewrote the script, and now for the last 3 years, and this year being fourth year, we do the show, and I'll just give you just a little piece of it. Basically what happens is I go down, the character that I play myself, which just tickles me silly. I play Carl. You look in the program, it says Carl Atwater, Carl. And then there's a young man who plays young Carl. So what happens is I go down into the basement at the beginning of the show. I go down into the basement looking for a recipe for my wife that she hasn't seen in 20 years. And I stumble across my journal that I haven't seen in decades. And as I'm reading through the journal, what happens in the journal happens as a flashback on stage. And so that's where young Carl comes in. So now there's a young man who plays a younger version of me, and we go through the story. I meet a girl. I hang out at this club and all this other stuff. And I'm not going to tell you any more than that because there's a couple of wonderful surprises at the end of the show. Well, that show just got posted on their website, and I'm going to give you that real quick. It's strandmarietta.org is the website. Strand, S-T-R-A-N-D, Marietta, M-A-R-I-E-T-T-A, .org. And tickets are now on sale. But for those of you who reach out to me either on Instagram or Facebook, I'll give you my discount code, which I'm not going to give out on the air. I'll give you my discount code, which will get you 30% off. So that's that. This will be our fourth year, and I'm delighted to say that I just found out a week ago today, not only has the show been posted on the website, they've added four shows. So the first year we did seven shows. The second year we did seven shows. Last year, they added a show. We did 8 shows. This year, they've added 4 shows. So this year, we're doing 12 shows and over 3 weekends. There are 4 shows each weekend. There's 8 o'clock Friday, 8 o'clock Saturday, and then 3 o'clock Saturday and Sunday. So two matinees each weekend, 2 evening shows each weekend. And I have been performing on stage since 1975. Chaz, this is one of, if not the best shows I have ever been in, and I have been in some good shows. Oh, you asked me about some other roles. I was in Driving Miss Daisy about 3 years ago up in Rome, Georgia. I also did Ain't Misbehaving up in Rome, Georgia about 3 years ago. About 2 years ago, I played The Wiz in The Wizard of Oz, in The Wiz. I played The Wiz here in Snellville a couple years ago. So I have been in some wonderful shows. This, I'm telling you, if you like live music, if you like Motown or music of the 50s, 60s, or 70s, we do Temptations, Four Tops, Aretha Franklin, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, Sam and Dave, Otis Redding, The Drifters, James Brown, Jackson 5, The Supremes, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, The Isley Brothers, Marvin Gaye. I mean, on and on and on and on. But not, and the kids, I affectionately call them my kids. They are so talented. It's me and these 12 kids. They sing and they dance their hearts out, man. I tell people, I'm the lead in the show, but the kids are the star. They are the stars of the show because they do all the heavy lifting, okay? I mean, it's a major workout for them every performance because they are sweating and lifting and jumping and splitting and dancing, and they are killing it, man. If you like live theater, we have never failed to get a standing ovation. Every single show we've done, and I have never performed in a show that every single performance got a standing ovation except for this one. And I've been in some great shows, but every single performance we get a standing ovation, and rightfully so. The show is so well written. The brother that wrote it, his name is Shane DeLancey. He put this thing together, man, and it's a work of art. It is a work of art. So anybody who, you know, if you're looking for a good something to do, it's going to be August 9th through the 25th, 4 shows each weekend, Jukebox Giants, Motown, and more, strandmarietta.org.
Sir, I want you to give out your information where people can hit you up. I know you dropped a few lines during when you was telling me about your whole career. Just tell me, tell the people exactly where they can hit you up at and get to know Carl Atwater.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Like I said, I'm on Facebook for those of us who are old, because I know the kids don't do Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I post everything. So on Facebook, I'm Carl Everett Atwater, and Carl is C-A-R-L-E, and my middle name is Everett, E-V-E-R-E-T-T, last name Atwater, A-T-W-A-T-E-R. So you can see I post everything on Facebook because I just find that an easier medium to navigate. But I'm learning to navigate Instagram, and my Instagram handle is ampersand, so the A with the circle around it. So at Carl Atwater, and once again, that's C-A-R-L-E-A-T-W-A-T-E-R, no spaces, no periods. So at Carl Atwater on IG, and I post a lot of stuff there, but I'm getting better at it, but I'm still learning Instagram. So that's how I can be reached.
Right.
And anybody that wants to reach out to my agent is Linda Ryan, sorry, I burped, Crossbeam Talent Agency. And my agent's phone number is 770-313-2739. And she'll be happy to talk to you about anything to get me hired, because she knows I love to work, and I know she loves to make money, so we get along just fine in that regard. So there you go.
I want to tell you that I'm proud of you
and
very honored to know you, because I do believe one day I'm going to choke on something I'm eating watching you on TV and say, hey, that's that.
I would love
that's wrong.
Well, as long as you don't hurt yourself. As long as you don't hurt yourself, I look forward to that day as well. I tell you a quick story in these last 6 years, I've done about 30 films. I've done a TV series. I've done video, music videos, commercials, and voiceover work. And a buddy of mine called me. I had a nationwide commercial out for Moderna about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And buddy of mine called me up from Buffalo, New York, said he was watching Monday Night Football. He was watching his Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football. He said, "Yo, man, was that you I just saw on commercial?" I said, "Yeah, man, that was me." And then another friend of mine called me up from Dallas, Texas. I had a commercial that was playing in Dallas, and it was a financial services commercial. Let me throw this out to you real quick. There's a TV series. It's called Frame of Reference, and it is now, you can see it on Tubi and
yeah.
What's the thing? It's WFAA out of Dallas. We shot it in Dallas like 3 years ago, and it is really blowing up. It's an 8-part series called Frame of Reference. I play the father of the lead character, and Edmund Larea, brother, super talented, wonderful fellow. He plays the lead. He's the star of the series. But that's out there. And like I say, you can go to my the thing I didn't say as a second time, my YouTube channel is Carl Atwater. So you go to YouTube, look up Carl Atwater, you can see me singing Old Man River and doing monologues and some of the short films that I've done. The whole film is on there, so you can see the whole thing. And some bits and pieces of stuff. But I'm loving life. I thank God for everything that I'm doing and for the opportunities that I've been presented with. And one last thing I'll hit you with. I'm a master carpenter. I got my carpenter skills from Howard University. And the reason I'm going to Detroit in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be teaching high school kids theater carpentry. There's a thing called the Thespians. There's the National Thespians Conferences, and I'm going to be teaching high school kids in Ohio, Sylvania, Ohio, carpentry. And then in the beginning of April, I'm going to be going to Oregon to teach high school kids about carpentry and how to use tools. So there we go. I'm going to leave those last 2 minutes for you, sir.
Thank you again for calling in. And whenever something jumps off that's of importance, make sure you hit me up, and we'll try to get you back on here again. Maybe even get you on here to co-host and talk to some of these music artists that I know around the country I interview.
Oh, I'd love to, man. I'd love to.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Carl Atwater. I'm going to leave you with one of the jazz cuts that I've done with my cousin, Chris Jordan, called Slow Walking. Again, thank you,
okay,
sir, for being in.
Thank you for having me on.